This is Electric Sisterhood podcast number 311. I'm the dude who knows the guy.
Best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister
and I'm Pandalicious,
and joining us on a very special episode of
and it truly is special this week.
Yeah, I know, because you hate it when I say
I know,
but it is special because joining us is Nick Chester from Harmonix Music, you know, makers of awesome music games. Thank you for being with us this week, Nick.
Fuck yeah.
How are you doing?
Oh, see, you jumped right on into that.
I know, just right into that.
We practiced it before, so I wanted to get it right out there.
I mean, practice is important. You know, a lot of times people just kind of jump into stuff, but sometimes you got to practice things.
I practice every week.
And they turn out really well. I know, and you're getting so good.
I know.
I mean, seriously, the improvement, beautiful.
Gold star beautiful. For effort.
But I want to thank you for joining us today, Nick. It was really cool for us when we get people on to talk about stuff, especially people who are as passionate about games as we are, or at least as nerdy about them as we are. So we're glad to have you on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on in this wonderful rainy day in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's nothing that says Massachusetts more than just gloom and dirtiness. And
yeah, definitely. Today, unfortunately, I have nowhere to go today. I'm doing this, and I'm sitting around on my couch playing Dishonored.
See,
so, that sounds like a great Sunday to me.
I mean, I don't really find anything bad in that Sunday.
Yeah.
Because pretty much we're doing this, and then I'm playing Dishonored on my couch.
I'm playing Resident Evil 6 because that's
your
I have.
Thing.
That's my thing.
That's your thing. And you know what? There's no shame in that, though.
No.
Anna. No shame at all.
I know.
So we wanted to talk with you, Nick, about Dance Central 3 because, one, we're huge Dance Central fans.
Yep.
We make no bones about that.
Awesome.
We've had quite the battle in the living room before the TV broke. We're not going to talk about how or why.
Did you break the TV as a result of Dance Central?
I'm not saying that happened.
No, there was a Wiimote remote involved.
There may or may not have been a Wiimote-related accident.
Okay, see, so that's the good thing about Kinect.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So, but you know what? We're mending. And yep. We will eventually be back in our Dance Studio Central. Right now we're in the secondary dance area, which is a little bit smaller. But it makes for a better sweat, I find.
Just, yes, you were glistening.
I had a nice glisten going on. Because we've been playing the demo that's available on the Xbox network. And gotta say, my first reaction, I'm really impressed.
Wi-Fi?
Like, we played a little bit at E3. Mm-hmm. Not as often as we wanted to, because we were trying to be.
That was my base of hangout. Like, that was, like, the hottest corner for me. Like, there were just so many people who were watching and playing. And I'm like, I'm just going to hang out here all day.
Yeah, well, for you, Nick, because I think that was your first show for representing Harmonix since you moved to the company. Was E3 this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that was my first big E3. We had done PAX earlier in the year, and we had done some demos behind closed doors at GDC for Rock Band Blitz. But this was like my first really like massive show, and I had been going to E3 as press for years and years, so being on the other side was completely strange. Like, usually I get to see the entire show,
right?
I get to see everything there, and now I saw like a meeting room and our stages, and like that was it.
So for me, like, making that change, right, going from being media and seeing the entire show and getting the treatment of, oh yes, we want the good review, so come see our thing, we have booze. Switching to the other side of that, like, for besides not being able to like get out and see stuff, what was really like the high point for you in like demoing DC3 at E3? Because I have to say, like, every time that I went past the booth, you guys were just getting it, and I really was like, how are you keeping up all the energy? Because it's a high impact game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So here's the secret. So work on games that you really like. Work on games that are really good. And so, like, fortunately, like, I started in October, like right as DC2 was launching. Mm-hmm. And they had already started like some pre-production on DC3, and we started rolling onto that project. So I've been with it. I was with that project leading up to its like launch, or right. rather its reveal. So you get sort of connected to those projects, and it helps when they're actually really, really cool. Like the stuff that the team was doing with the game was like really exciting for me. And I had played it for hours and hours, and I had been like writing about it and, you know, working on getting like everything set up for E3. So by the time we had revealed it, you would think that we would just be sick of it. But it was really exciting to sort of get it out there and like see everybody like smiling and dancing and getting into it and really enjoying the game. Had we revealed it and people just like shrugged at us and walked away, we'd probably be crying instead of being excited about our game. But yeah, but we're in a good spot, because like I think it's legitimately a good game. And like, I guess like I quote unquote have to say that as the PR guy, but right. I mean, people have told me, you know, like other people, I know a good game, whatever. I've been playing games for 30 years. So, and, I'm excited about it. So that's why.
Cool. Not surprising, to be honest, because, you know, for me, one of the things that I think we both have enjoyed about every single outing that we've had with Harmonix is it's obvious that everything that is made with passion and is made with love, and it shows in the game and it shows in the gameplay.
Oh, God, it drips. Like, it's dripping with love, time, patience, passion, and dedication. Like, it's just... It's soggy and moist and wet, but in the good way.
You know I hate that word.
I know, but it's true, though.
It's true. It is true. You know, and it always comes across that way. So, you know, for us, people who have been enamored with Dance Central since it was first announced, I mean, it Dance Central was the reason that we got a Kinect.
Yep.
You haven't really done any other motion-based games on the Kinect.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not really.
To be honest. You know, we've tried some of the demo stuff. We're like, no,
yeah.
Dance Central.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, so I don't, you know, we don't like to, you know, peacock too much, and, you know, pat ourselves on the back. People, and we are the highest rated Kinect game on Metacritic, which we think is pretty cool. That's really exciting. And there are actually some other good Kinect games, but I think, like, you know, dancing, like, full body motion is, like, perfect for this technology. It's just, it's like, literally, it was designed for a dance game. You know what I mean? Because we had dance games before that were like, you know, you put your feet on the mats to, like, the rhythm, mm-hmm. and that was fun. And then there were dance games where you would wave your Wii remote around and jump around, and that was fun, but that wasn't really dancing. That wasn't really the same sort of high-impact game, the authenticity of Dance Central. So, yeah, it's cool. I'm glad to hear that, you know, people dig the game, and it's like, I hear that a lot. It's like, that's our only Kinect game. That's the only reason why we use Kinect. And there are other things that you can use with Kinect, but... If you just want to play Dance Central 3, I ain't going to stop you.
Exactly. That's exactly. Right. I mean, he's not mad at that.
No, and he shouldn't be.
No, because we've been playing since we woke up this, we'll say morning. We'll call it morning.
Yeah, it's morning.
We'll call it morning when we woke up. And it took us a little while to get the Kinect in the spot, because our room now is much smaller that we are nerd centraling in right now. But I have to say, like, one of the things that struck me running through all the different modes in the demo is just how much more depth from 1 to 2 and now 2 to 3 has been added in the game. You know, for me, I mean, when 1 came out, we would go back and forth and score battle because we're siblings, so we do that.
Yep.
Just to see who could get the better score, and then to see, you know, the additional party modes and pair modes that were added in 2, running through all the different just pick up and go play modes in 3, as well as the two player modes and the different ways that you can attack the game, both with the beginner, easy, medium, and hard level. It definitely feels much more rich and much more of a deep experience as far as you can play it the way you want to play it. So can you talk a little bit about just the thought process of coming out of 2 and moving into 3, how you guys figured out, okay, this is where our opportunities are, and this is how we can really knock this out of the park?
So, I mean, it's definitely a lot of things. So it would have been mad easy to release Dance Central 2.5 with just basically new songs in the same modes.
Right.
And that's like a thing that, I mean, you see in games. A lot of people do that, especially with stuff that's yearly. And this is the third Dance Central in as many years. So you would think, like, oh, it's just a rehash of the other game. But I think we surprised a lot of people when we showed them DC3 and everything it has to offer. They're like, whoa, this is not just like a quick cash-in. This is like, you guys are trying to do something new and say something new. And that's something that Harmonix like always has done. If you look at like their previous games, like obviously like the Rock Band games, if you look at Rock Band 1, you look at Rock Band 3, like the difference is like it's leaps and bounds. You know, there was so much stuff that they threw into 3. And that's sort of like where we were at with Dance Central 3. So, you know, a lot of the new modes that are in the game, for example, there are some mini games in there, like the Make Your Move mini game, which I believe is in the demo. And then there's like the Keep the Beat. So Make Your Move is like that horse style dance game where like one person does a dance move 4 times in a row and the other person has to match it. Mm-hmm. And the Kinect actually creates like these filters on the fly, like in the background. And like that might not seem like a huge deal to a lot of people, but like getting that technology to work is like pretty incredible. Like there's no other Kinect games that have done that before. So it was like the teams are constantly like finding new things that the Kinect can do. And then it's like, well, how is this going to work with our game? Like, what can we do with this? How can we make it fun? So that was like the first thing that we did. So we have those new mini games in there with the new tech. And another thing is like a lot of people like, so Dance Central was designed always to be sort of like almost a casual experience that anybody can sort of get up there and sort of dance around to. And right. I think that's true. Like anybody can play it and dance around to it. But when you get on like the hard modes, it's like hardcore. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like not messing around. Like these are like legit choreography. It's like legit choreography in the game designed by like real dancers. So when we looked at Dance Central 3, we knew there was sort of like a lot of barriers to entry for a lot of people, despite the fact that we had like, you know, the break it down rehearse modes, mm-hmm. and we did have an easy mode. So like with the beginner mode, which you see in the demo, the way that actually works is you could actually select it like straight up from the beginning and you're going to get like this easy subset of moves that are actually easier than the easy modes. And the way we actually came up with that is we literally got the worst dancers in the company to come in and play test the games. So no, we're like,
that's a great way to do it though.
Yeah. So we tested that a lot, but actually, so if you actually pick it on, if you pick easy in one of the party modes, like the party time mode that we have in the demo, or the mm-hmm. crew throwdown, which is the 4v4, if you're playing on easy and you can't quite get easy, we will actually drop it down to beginner in the background without actually telling you anything. And like the animations will smoothly move into those new moves and everything like that. So we want people to sort of get up to the game and feel like they're good dancers, like maybe even if they're not, and get them comfortable with dancing. So that was definitely one of the objectives for Dance Central 3, in addition to a whole bunch of other stuff, which you haven't even mentioned yet. It's a huge game. It's ridiculous.
It is. And I have to say, like, the dropping that down in the background to keep everybody on the same playing field is a really cool thing, because that can be one of the most intimidating things about a music-based game, I find, whenever we get friends together or even going out to play stuff at different places. A lot of times we were like, no, I mean, it looks kind of fun, but it's not my thing. And, you know, a piece of that is because they don't want to look stupid in front of everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Because nobody wants to feel like they don't have rhythm. So yeah. It's really interesting to hear how you've added in a way to, you know, keep people dancing. Because, like, my dream in life is to get our mom playing Dance Central. She's curious about video games, and she'll peek in sometimes, and she'll laugh and be like, what are you guys doing? And then we'll try to get her in, and she'll be like, oh, no, screw you both. No, seriously.
Get her up there. I mean, the minute she starts playing, she's probably not going to want to stop. That's the thing we see a lot. It's like people don't want to play, and then as soon as they do, it's like, that's it. They just want to keep playing.
Which is a good place to be. I mean, because one of the things that I really loved about the Kinect, just when it was announced, more so I think than Wii and Move on the PlayStation 3, was because it was full body, it wasn't relying on you holding a peripheral, it seemed to bring down a barrier, at least to me, for getting people to jump into more games.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people are confused by buttons, and they don't want to, like, learn how to use it. You know, like, the Nintendo had the two buttons on it, and that was, like, easy for people to learn. And people who haven't played, like, an NES, that's, like, the last system they played, they get an Xbox controller, and they're like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly, yes. Because you feel like you have to be a monkey with extra appendages.
Yeah, like, why do you need so many buttons to play this game? And, like, we as gamers, we've, like, been evolving, I guess is the way to say it. Like, you know, like, the SNES had more buttons, and mm-hmm. then the Dreamcast had more, and then the PlayStation 2, and so we totally understand that kind of stuff, but being able to get people into a game without having to learn all of that stuff and just sort of like literally just step up and play. Like, for example, the party time modes in Dance Central 3 is another example of that. It like it'll just shuffle through songs, and then when you hear a song you want, if you just step up and start playing it, the way to start the game is literally raise your hand. Like, you raise your hand and the song starts. And that's like super easy to do. Like, you don't have to like swipe through menus or anything like that. And with two players, like two players get up to it, and then they high-five each other to start. Like, everybody knows how to high five, you know? Like, this isn't, you know, you don't have to press A to go forward or B to go back and then navigate.
And you don't have to make a profile.
And that's, nope. And that's no a great profiles. Icebreaker. Like, hey, let's do this. High five.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when we wanted to get people to play together and, like, that just that act of, like, sort of touching, which sounds kind of weird, but, you know, the act of just, like, giving that high five. Yeah, in a good way. Like, gets, like, it does, exactly. It's a great icebreaker.
Absolutely.
So, for us, because we've been poring over all the music in the game, and when we talked at E3, I was like, I am so excited about the K-pop music, and we are definitely going to have to talk about how that came to be, because, you know, for us, one of our things is anime. We've been in love with anime and manga and the K-pop and J-pop scene for a while, and it's really interesting for us to, you know, at 6 years into doing this now, see some of that starting to show up in mainstream, and then to find out that, you know, artists like 2NE1 were going to actually be featured in this game. One, it was like vindication for us, just like on a little note, but I'm really kind of curious as to how that all came to be, as just a thought of, we should include this in the game.
So, I mean, people have been asking for it for a while, you know, like, people like you, they play the first Dance Center and like, we love this music. They play too. They love this music. But a lot of people were always like, you know, where's the K-pop? Like, it's huge. Like, K-pop is gigantic, you know? We've wanted to do it for a while. It just sort of hasn't happened up until now for various reasons, like licensing things is tough and like sort of getting, you know, everything into the game. It's a huge process. So when the opportunity came up to get 2NE1 in the game, like we jumped at it. You know, we went after it. We wanted to do K-pop. 2NE1 happened to be one of the tracks that you know, the track we have there, I'm the Best, happened to be one of the tracks that we were able to get. We were able to put it on the disc. So I think Dance Central 3 is the most varied soundtrack yet that we've ever had. Like we've had previous soundtracks have been more like modern and contemporary sort of like club or dance music or like pop music, whereas I think 3 is across the board, like kind of like a little bit all over the place with the 2NE1 stuff and the stuff from the 70s, like The Hustle and the YMCA, all the way up to like new stuff like, you know, like the new Usher track, Scream and stuff like that. So getting 2NE1 or any K-pop on the disc was like a huge thing. We were so excited to be able to do it. And we weren't sure how people were going to react. And when we announced it, it was like the internet exploded. Like the amount of tweets that I got at me and people like sending me messages telling me how excited they were that we were able to get 2NE1 on the game was like out of control. And we would love to get more K-pop into the game, you know, via DLC and stuff like that. But I mean, we'll see.
Cool. Well, I know I've been kind of jumping on all the questions, so I'll let you get one in now.
Oh, good. I'm glad because I'm prepared.
I know. I'm so proud of you. It's so nice to see your list of questions.
So, actually, I want to talk a little bit personally. You say that you played a lot of Dance Central 3, like, you know, jumping on board. What's your favorite addition to this upcoming game?
The story mode is bonkers and out of control. So Dance Central 3 has, like, a straight-up story campaign, whereas 2 had the crew challenge, which had, like, little mini cutscenes and, like, dialogue and stuff that sort of set up a skeleton of a story. It wasn't really like a full-blown thing like we're doing in 3. So in Dance Central 3, we actually had a team of writers sit down and write this crazy, like, batshit storyline. And we have, like, full cutscenes and dialogue in the game. So just to break it down, it's super complicated, the story. So you got to, like, you know, this is high-level stuff. So the way the game...
We're all ears.
Yeah, we're literally at your whim.
Okay, so the way the game starts is the player is actually you're the players, you were invited to a dance party. And so you go underground and, you know, it's this really exclusive dance party. And you soon learn that it's not just a dance party, but you were invited to Dance Central Intelligence Headquarters, DCI. And they are actually sort of basically auditioning you to see if you are good enough to be part of DCI. Now, DCI is Dance Central Intelligence. They investigate dance crimes. So you see them, somebody has to do it. So you're in this like crazy underground facility. You learn that you're going to be stopping the evil villain Dr. Tan, who is actually, Dr. Tan, you may have met him in Dance Central 1 and Dance Central 2. He hates like freedom of expression and he hates creativity. So he has actually gone back through time to steal like dance moves and crazes of the past, like The Hustle and the Dougie and the Macarena and stuff like that. And he wants to force everybody via mind control to just dance like these these straight up like crazes, like the stuff that you would see at weddings, like stuff that is fun, mm-hmm. but
the sprinkler,
not much
the
creativity.
Sprinkler, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he loves that kind of stuff. So it is you as the player to travel back through time to the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and then maybe you go to the future to stop him. And it's pretty bananas. Like it's really silly in the best way possible.
It's funny that you bring that up, because my other question was about that, because as I was like looking at the trailers and seeing about the story, I was like, it kind of feels like MIB met with like Back to the Future and Footloose.
Yeah, absolutely. So like we wanted to put these dance crazes in the games from like the 70s. So like we wanted to get something like the YMCA, the Macarena in the game. Because they're fun. They're fun dances to do. You know, it's the kind of stuff that you would like to see at a wedding or something like that. And like, they're kind of silly, but in like a good way. But it felt really weird for us to get all of our characters that we've already like announced, the crews that people have sort of like come to love and recognize, doing those kind of dances, like out of context, like, you know, like having like Little T in like an urban outfit, like a current outfit, like doing the YMCA would just kind of be silly.
Right.
So to contextualize it, we were like, well, let's just do time travel.
I mean, because that works. I mean, yeah. A lot of times it solves so many problems.
Not to mention, I mean, back in the 90s when, you know, I was, you know, not too proud to beg in my baggy pants, I was doing the YMCA, so it's not that far out of context. We all did it.
Yep.
And continue to do it.
And continue to do it.
At every wedding and backyard function, at least
ever.
That we have.
You're going to be doing it again. And if you don't know those movies, we'll teach them to you in Dance Central 3, because we're awesome.
We're going to have fun, but we're going to teach you stuff, too.
Because learning is fundamental.
Just like reading.
Or just mental. I can't remember which. But it's involved in there somehow.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, it was really interesting to get a peek at kind of the story mode, because I had a lot of questions, you know, just in the bits and pieces that we saw for the different time periods. I was kind of wondering how that all came together. And then when the story mode was announced, I was like, ah, I now get it. But it definitely was... like, really different from anything that I would expect out of a DC3. And I was really surprised by it, to be honest, because I didn't really, for me, need a story in the game, because the game is just so fun to pick up. But I thought, you know, this is a great way to kind of add on to the platform. So thumbs up for that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, we didn't need a story. You know, like I said, we could have made DC 2.5. A dance game doesn't need a story. Like, it's kind of, like, crazy and silly. But we know people do play the game alone, and we wanted to give them, like, something extra and cool. And it's, like, 5 to 6 hours of just, like, wild, crazy time travel stuff. And it's hilarious. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but it's funny. Like, it's intentionally supposed to be funny and silly. Like, some reactions were like, well, it's kind of stupid. Well, it's kind of supposed to be silly, so just sort of, like, let go and have fun.
Absolutely.
So Nick, what's your favorite song so far that you've played?
I really like the choreography for Backstreet Boys, Everybody. That sort of speaks
really?
To me on a weird level. Yeah.
The
2NE1 track is actually really, really good. Like, I'm not a huge K-pop guy myself, but I find myself humming the 2NE1 track in the shower a lot.
It does. It sticks in there.
And I kind of like The Hustle because I didn't know The Hustle. Like, I was born in the late 70s, mm-hmm. and I sort of missed that. And it was actually one of the – it was in the E3 demo, so it was one of the first ones that I had to, like, sort of practice to get to know. And now I could do, like, the whole Hustle, like, the toe step and stuff like that. It makes me feel really good when I do it.
Nice.
Yep.
And that definitely will also come in hand at any wedding that you go to.
Absolutely.
I will lead The Hustle. Which is important. I think for me, it was really interesting to see the addition of some more of the hardcore dance tracks. You know, because you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, you can jump in and with beginner and easy, it's fun and it's play and it's just having a good time. But one of the things I'm going to speak for you. And
yeah,
I know
you're the older sister. You do it anyway.
I do it all the time. But we do enjoy the harder difficulty stuff just because... we enjoy the battle, I think, more often than most people.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting to me to see just how much the difficulty levels, when you move up to the difficulty of, I would even say medium, feels a little more intense in DC3 than in 2, and definitely hardcore is redonkulous. I actually am probably going to have to mount my connect to a wall because we end up shaking the room. And not just because the subwoofer is like a 2-foot cubic subwoofer. But can you talk a little bit about really kicking up the choreography? Because it definitely feels to me, just in what I've been able to play and what we got hands-on with at E3, that it has been taken up a significant notch.
It's gone up several octaves.
It has.
Yes, yeah, we've definitely taken it up a couple octaves for Dance Central 3. So, I mean, we do know that, like, our hardcore fans, they love that really, like, super difficult choreography. They want to be challenged. So there were a couple things at play here. First of all, we actually got a little bit a better understanding of the Kinect technology. We've been pretty good with it. But now we could do, like, crazier stuff with it and track faster movements and track, like, movements like spins and, like, drops to the ground and stuff like that. So we're actually – our choreographers are implementing that more into – the dances and the different routines. So, like, before we had, like, this smaller box to play in, like, oh, you can do this stuff, but you can't do that, you can't do this. Now we can do more things. Mm-hmm. We're pushing it, like, well beyond where we were before. So, yeah, you're definitely going to get more difficult choreography in the game than we've ever had before, but I think we have a pretty good balance of easy and hard stuff, so I don't think people are going to be overwhelmed. Like, beginner players aren't going to be overwhelmed, but mm-hmm. I think, like, the hardcore players are going to be really excited to see some of the new stuff we have in the game. Like, the stuff that Usher and his choreographer AJ came up with, it was kind of, like, ridiculous. Like OMG on hard is – there's an achievement for it. Like, if you could beat that, you get 100 score crap. For it. If you could, like, you know, like, 5-star it, and it's super-duper tough. I remember we were all in – we have, like, this room called the Star Chamber at Harmonix. It's basically, like, this big – room with a big TV in it, which is where people go to, like, sort of, like, see game demos and stuff like that. So we were all in there practicing the choreography for these songs so we could demo them at E3, or at least have some sort of, like, you know, grasp on, like, what they were. Mm-hmm. And I remember the choreographers, like, are, like, actual professional dancers. They were sitting there, like, struggling with some of this stuff. And eventually they got it, but, I mean, there was, like, a hell of a lot of practice. So good luck to everybody getting that achievement.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on. Challenge accepted.
It's on.
You could do it.
Here's the thing. We're going to make that happen because you're awesome.
And you're awesome.
And we're going to make that happen. I'm not exactly sure when, but we'll give it a shot.
I'm definitely going to try it. I mean, when I was watching the gameplay, because I think I saw them doing Scream a lot, and I noticed that there's a lot of ISOs, which, I mean, I know a lot of dancer friends of mine who that's, like, the thing that they struggle with the most, you know, isolating one part, not moving anything else, and it's muscle memory,
yeah.
You know, and rhythm and timing and precision. And, I mean, I'm not that rhythmic in life. I'm rhythmically challenged.
And but it's okay. You own that about yourself.
I know, but I'm so glad that they have the rehearse aspect in this game because I'm going to be working and rehearsing my ISOs. Like crazy, and I feel like I'm going to learn how to properly do these things, and I'll be able to take that out to me when I decide to go to the club.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's helped me a little bit, although I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm still not a very good dancer.
Here's the thing. As long as you carry the song in your heart, you're fine.
Exactly. And I feel like I feel like I'm a good dancer. I'm having fun. Like, I play the game constantly, and I'm always having fun. I just don't ever videotape me playing.
Yeah, no.
We shut off the camera.
We shut off the camera. And I really feel much better about ourselves if we do that.
Yeah.
Because, no, not with this afro. Things just don't look right.
I like your afro.
I know. It's getting there. It's getting there. Another thing for me that I found really interesting, and you alluded to it a little bit earlier, was the challenge mode with the repetitive move piece. All right, here are my 4 moves. Now see if you can top that.
Yeah.
It really kind of reminded me a little bit of, you know, hanging out on the block and just, you know, being with your friends and, you know, who can top that and who can top that. And I was wondering, you know, where the idea for bringing that into the game came from, because there's a lot of ways that you can do challenge pieces. You know, there's score battle, which a lot of people are used to, and, you know, I mean, I can't think of another one right now. That's the first one that came to my head, but I really thought that was kind of like, wow, that's a different way to think of challenge, not just can you beat my score, or who can get through the song faster, or reach a particular score faster. So can you talk a little bit about the process behind how that came to be, and you know, how excited people were to actually get that on disc as a mode in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, with the previous Dance Essentials, we had the choreography that you watch and you stick to it and you learn it, and it's pretty much the same every time. But we found a lot of people wanted to sort of, like, freestyle or create their own moves. Mm-hmm. And it was always, like, a challenge for us to figure out a good way to put that in the game in a way that still felt musical and still felt fun. So when we got, like I talked about a little bit earlier, you know, we got this tech to sort of, like, make all the filters, connect filters on the fly. Like, the first thing was, like, it was like a dance battle, like you said, like, I'm gonna do a move, like, can you match that, can you top that kind of thing. And it just seemed like a natural, like, extension of the game to do something like that. And, like, when we play it, like, I'll do a move four times, and the first thing I'll do is I'll turn to my player and I'll be like, what, like, like, can you do that? What, you can't handle me, like, stuff like that. Like, it's all about, like, trash talk. It's all about, like, a lot of fun. And at the end of when you do that, you actually make four moves, and then it puts it together in, like, one routine. That can get actually pretty crazy depending on the moves you've done. And the Kinect can pick up a lot of, like, crazy moves, you know what I mean? Like, you just need to basically be able to repeat a move four times in a row, like, identically, mm-hmm. and the Kinect is going to pick it up. You could pretty much do anything. So my strategy is, because I'm not the best dancer, and I don't really have any great moves, is I just do something completely ridiculous. Like, I'll just, like, flail my arms around, as long as I do it the same way four times in a row. And then I'll have somebody who's a good dancer try to do that. And because I'm such a bad dancer, but I could replicate that four times, like, our choreographers are like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I can't match that. Like, what is that? What is that thing you're doing there? That's not dancing. You're crazy. And then I would win, and I'd feel really good about myself.
And that's really ultimately what Dance Central is about. It's about feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, it's about having fun and, you know, like, feeling the rhythm and getting comfortable with your body and dance. And I think we did that. I think we did that with the previous games, and I definitely know we did it with this one. And we have another mode too, actually, called Keep the Beat, which I mentioned before, mm-hmm. which is another freestyle mode where we can actually watch a player's skeleton and see if they're dancing to the beat of the song. So they don't have to do anything. We're not telling them what to do. They just need to sort of, like, just go for it. They just need to jam. You could, like, actually, you could steal somebody's move. So if somebody's, like, repeating their move, like, over and over again, like, just, like, doing, like, a fist pump or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you do a fist bump, you could actually break their combo, and it's cool. So it's a lot of fun. It's not as structured as the, like, the perform modes or the battles where, like, we present the choreography to you. Mm-hmm. It's, like, fun in a completely different way.
Definitely. Yeah, that's really cool. That's probably going to be the way that we get mom to play.
Yep.
Because she thinks she has moves.
She likes to think so.
She thinks she has moves like Jagger.
I want to see your mom's move. You tell her that Nick Chester from Harmonix says it makes him really sad that she hasn't played yet, and he would love for her to play.
All right. I mean, we can share that message very quickly.
If that does not get her dancing, I don't know what will.
Here's the thing, Nick. I don't know. I don't know, because that would motivate me.
Because she totally does the head bob thing, like, when we're dancing, because she loves the music.
Yeah, she always loves the music, and we'll hear her. Sometimes she'll sing in the other room. And like I said, she'll be bobbing, and she'll come in, and she'll check out what we're doing. And she'll always be such a little nerd, because she'll stand in the doorway like she's not paying attention, but she is paying attention. And so we'll drag along, and she'll be like, no, really, no. But I think that it's going to happen, because every time that we talk about the game or we put the game in, she always makes sure that she's around. And it's another thing for me that just lets me know that it's a game that really does have mass appeal, because there are games that we play that our mom really would prefer that we actually not play anywhere near her. And then there are other games where she'll come in the room and she'll just watch because she's interested in the story.
Yep, she'll have popcorn and she'll get comfortable and she'll hang
out. Seriously, like, Uncharted and God of War, she's just like, so when are you guys going to be playing that again? Because I'm kind of wondering what's going on there.
Yeah, like, I want to know what happens.
That's exactly how she's like, too.
Yeah, every time we have a God of War marathon, she's there, which is really cool. And so to have another game, especially for us, that is rhythm-based, that appeals to so many people, I think that it's just another thing that kind of puts gaming aside from just being a hobby.
Right.
And really being something that's inviting for the whole family. And so one of my things is, you know, as you've taken the game around and shown it off as it's getting ready to launch, you know, have you seen anyone that really, as they were playing the game, just stood out to you in different age groups that you were just like, wow, like, this is really something?
Huh. In terms of how good they were at the game, or how much they were getting into it? So it's really surprising. Like, you go to PAX and stuff like that, and all kinds of people get up there and play, like, of all ages and all sizes, and, like, just people you would not expect to be playing this game and good at it are, like, getting up there, and they're, like, straight killing it, you know? Like, you don't want to like judge people before mm-hmm. they come up on stage, but like in your head, you're like, this guy is like a Call of Duty player, and he's not gonna kill this. And he goes up there and he just like straight up kills it. I'm like, what? Like, mm-hmm. where are you coming from with this? And then you get like little kids come up, and they're killing it too. You know, it's like, it's really exciting to see all kinds of different people like getting up and not only enjoying the game, but actually being really good at it. So like, you know that they are like going back to their house and playing it by themselves and, you know, they're like invested in it. And it's just cool to see a lot of different kind of people having fun.
Yeah. I've had an encounter like that. I think the first PAX East that we had, I was just hanging around the Dance Central area and I had met a girl there. And we're just talking, and she's got this hoodie on, and she's small and petite, and she's like, yeah, I want to dance, but I don't want to dance by myself. And I had just mastered Rendezvous, so this was the first one. And I'm like, I've got that on hard. I'm ready to go. Let's do this. And, like, I'm not planning to show her up, but I'm just like, I know that that's one. There's one move that I've always messed up on, and I practice, and I'm like, I'm ready. I'm going to do this. I'm like, let's do it. And she rips off her hoodie, and she's got a Dance Central t-shirt on. I'm like, oh, you got me. And she schooled me so bad, it hurt, but it was fun.
It happens, man. You never know. Like, I actually think, now that we've been talking about it, secretly your mom probably plays when you guys aren't around.
Here's the thing. She does know how to work the Kinect.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go.
And it was Netflix that taught her how to do that. It's a possibility.
Does she have a gamer tag? She might have a secret gamer tag you don't know about. She has a completion of DC 1 and DC 2 probably on her gamer tag. So
she could.
I
might have to look on my Xbox.
You might need to check your Xbox for random tags.
Yeah,
which is something that you don't do.
I don't. I'm gonna do it after the show.
Seriously,
you're caught, Mom. We got you.
And then I'm gonna throw it down. Boom! Like, hey, Mom, what is this all about, Mom?
Explain yourself.
She'll just challenge you to a make your move dance off at that point.
Yep.
Seriously, if that happens, it's going on YouTube.
It'd be so good.
And I will make sure that we send it to you on Facebook. I will tape that shit. It's going down. I guess for me, my final things, just coming around the game, because, you know, by the time this podcast airs, it'll be the day before the game comes out.
Yay!
And if I wasn't going to a convention, you can better believe that my ass would not be working that day. But I will be
it. Got sick.
I love those days where I catch, you know, a fever for a half hour. But what do you want, you know, with the game coming out, what do you want people to be able to walk away from the game? That, you know, they pick it up, they put it in the system. What do you want at the end of that session of playing the game? What do you want them to walk away with?
I just want, with a smile on their face, I just want them to have fun playing the game. You know what I mean? Like, I want them, if they've never played a dance game before, if they are hesitant to do so because maybe that's not like their thing, quote unquote, maybe they would rather be playing a more like quote unquote hardcore game, I would say get up there and give it a shot, because chances are, if you just sort of like let yourself go and get into it, like, you're going to have fun. I would also argue that this may or may not be one of the hardest video games or hardest Xbox 360 games, like, outside of Super Meat Boy. Like, you could like veteran Call of Duty and that's cool and all, but if you could beat OMG on hard with gold stars, like, props to you, because it's probably a lot harder. We are like the Battletoads, I think, of dance games. I think one of our designers said the OMG routine was the Battletoads of dance routines. So it's pretty tough. I just want people to have fun and get into it. I also want people to sort of like, especially given that this is the third game in the franchise in as many years, like I said earlier, I want people to take like a good look at the game and see all the love and the passion that was put into it and just see how big of a game it is. Like, this is not Dance Central 2.5. This is Dance Central 3. It's the biggest Dance Central game that we've ever done. I don't know how we would ever top it. But I just want people to sort of like just understand that, I mean, this is it. This, as far as I'm concerned, this is the best dance game and best dance experience that you can get. And I just want people to see that and explore everything it has to offer. Play the story modes, get your friends together and play Crew Throwdown. Use rehearse modes, like, if you're not doing so good. We have Usher doing the VO for our rehearse modes now, so he's going to walk you through all of the moves that you're doing. If you're not doing them right, Usher's going to help you out. It's a huge game. Just spend some time with it and have fun.
Cool. All right, my last question, I think, about the game, because I can talk about this for at least another hour, and I do need to actually play Dishonored, as I'm sure you're like, all right, tick, 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 talk. But everybody that works on a game has a feature or a piece of the game that they really wanted to make it in that didn't make it in. What's your piece?
Oh my goodness! If I told you, then I it would just give away the big reveal for the next game.
Oh my!
Now I'm not saying there is a next game, but if we give it away, we like to keep our ideas close.
We're not right. Just saying.
That's a really tough question. I mean, I think so much of got into this game that. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Pretty much, like, everything that was pitched from, like, all different, like, areas of the team, like, the story, like, the team that was writing the story mode was, like, they would go to, like, the producer and they'd be like, so, time travel, and we want to do an evil villain, and there's going to be mind control helmets. And they were like, yep, do it. Just do it. Let's do it. And then it was like, hey, I want to do high fives to starts. Like, somebody would say that. Like, wouldn't it be great if we did a high five and it would start the game, and then... one of our guys would go back, he would figure out how to do it, and it was in the game. It was like nothing. I don't think at any point somebody was like, no, we can't do that. We like went all in.
Okay. Well, then let's come at it from this way. What song is not in the game that you personally love that you'd like to see in the game?
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Yep. Questions. We
did our homework. High five!
That's such a hard question. Well, I guess, like, right now, it would be great if I could say with authority that we had Gangnam Style in the game so people would stop asking me about it. We'd never heard of it before. Like, oh, guys, you should get Gangnam Style for Dance Central. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that's a great tip. We hadn't thought of that yet. Thank you.
Yeah, no, not at all. Didn't even pop up on the radar.
Yeah, we'll get right on that. It'll be in there tomorrow. Now, thanks for picking it up. No, so I think right now and right this second, it would be that. And we have nothing to announce on that right now, but we really want it. We would love to have it in the game.
Well, I would really love for you to have it in the game.
I think everyone would be happy if that came about in some downloadable
form. I think the internet would stop for a moment and rejoice together as one.
Yeah, I believe that as well. I think there was something on Reddit. Somebody had posted a picture of Psy, and it said, Harmonix, do you want $1 million on the image? And it was like on the front page of Reddit for a while.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
We have to get this song. We're trying.
Okay, you can stop asking now. And that's going to be something that you know, it's got to be endearing to know that so many people love the game so much that there are things that they'd want. But, you know, how really and truly, like, how many times a day do you just get asked, well, why don't you put this song in? What about this song?
All the time. It's like, it's constant between Rock Band and Dance Central. We actually get it more on the Rock Band side than we do Dance Central. At least I do personally. At least I have over the past year. I mean, the game's been around longer. But yeah, like constantly, I think, you know, I get emails every day. It's like, hey, when's Gangnam Style going to be in Dance Central 3? It's like, what do you want me to do? It's like the game... That song was released in July, and we announced the game in June. We were content locked before the single even dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So leave me alone. But we try. I mean, we try. We listen to everybody. We listen to what they want. And if it will legitimately be a good song for the game, like, we definitely go after it. I mean, we can't get everything for the game. It doesn't work like that. We can't just, like, call somebody up and be like, yo, we need your song. And they're like, all right, cool, bro. And they give us a high five, and then we put it in the game. There's, like, a huge process involved.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, you know, we have to license choreography, too. For songs that do have dances that go along with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like the Hustle and the YMCA, like, we have to license the song and then we have to license the choreography. And then once we get cleared on both of those things, we have to get one of our choreographers to put a mocap suit on and create a dance entirely based around that. And then we have to, like, do QA on it. It's a huge process. I will just say, like, people keep bugging us about the songs that you want, so we know that you want them. Chances are we have probably already thought of it. Because we're constantly doing that. We're constantly turning to each other, be like, you know what would be a great song for Dance Central? You know what be a great song for Rock Band? We try.
I will say that the announcement about Flock of Seagulls being added to Rock Band with Iran, like, the little 80s kid inside of me just squeed really loudly. So just from me to you, thank you.
You're welcome. I was excited too. I'm really excited to see that. So we have, like, an internal sheet of stuff that's cleared for Rock Band that people are currently, like, working on. Dance Central too. So every once in a while I'll open that up to see, like, where we are, and I will squeal. I will literally be like, yes! Like, yeah, my desk, like, nothing. Just, you know.
No, I saw this thing on Amazon, and it was $5 cheaper than when I was first looking at it, and I'm really excited.
Not over here, money. Not over here squealing about our own video game or anything.
No. It's other information. I'm not that kind of fanboy. But I am.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I do that. Except, you know, at my day job, they just kind of go, oh, it's just ninja being ninja. Keep walking. Don't look in that office. Seriously, we still don't understand what the statues are. Because I have all of my video game knickknacks in my office. And it basically keeps everybody away from me. Which is fantastic. They're like, I don't understand what that box is. So just keep moving.
Don't ask.
Don't ask. I don't know why she has a gauntlet with a knife in it. I don't understand. Because, yeah, I did get the Altair.
Yeah, I know.
I did. I got two of them. And so they're in my office in different sizes. So it looks like I have assassin arms on the back of my office. I'm like, don't hit the buttons, though. Because bad things will happen. And they just leave my office.
You just look like a super badass. Nobody wants to mess with you.
Exactly. And frankly, I'm okay with that.
You should be.
They think you just wore those into the office and you hung them up when you came there.
Here's the thing. Next week, I probably will.
You should.
Convention time. All right. Well, Nick, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been really a wonderful conversation. I know that we are really excited about the game. A lot of the people that we talk with and the people that listen to our podcast, when we announced that we were going to be doing a Dance Central thing, were like, yes, talk about this game. So know that there's a lot of excitement, both from the player side of the world of what's coming out, and we're really excited to go through all the game modes. We'll probably be talking about it incessantly through holiday because we're big fans of the game. So really and truly fantastic job already. And we haven't even got our hands on the final game.
Oh, I'll make sure you guys get one. Just make sure you get me some contact info. I'll make sure one comes out to you.
All the time, dude.
I know a guy, so I'll
That's cool.
See? I'll see what I'll see what
gotta
I can
know
do.
A guy.
I don't know a guy. I know the dude. But I don't know the guy.
I bet the dude knows the guy, though.
The dude might know the guy.
Yeah, there's a guy behind the dude.
And Nick knows that dude that knows that guy.
Yep.
And now we know Nick. So now through Nick, we know that dude that knows that guy.
Exactly.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you end an episode. So thanks again for joining us, Nick Chester from Harmonix Music. Dance Central 3, it'll be available tomorrow. People, cop that game. I can't say it enough. Your toes and your butt wiggle will thank me.
Mm-hmm.
And her.
Yep.
But mostly me.
Yes, mostly you.
Yay. So make sure that you hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can get the newest stuff that we put out in the world first at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, as well as all the stuff that the rest of the team is writing over there. You can pick us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, because that's where you can ask us questions and tell us about all the things you want us to talk about on the podcast. We will get to most of those things, not all of those things. Nick, where can they find information about Dance Central 3?
You can find information about Dance Central 3 at the newly redesigned dancecentral.com. It looks totally sweet. Go check it out. And you can follow Dance Central on Twitter at dance_central. And you'll get all the Dance Central informations all of the time.
Which is really what you want. Trust and believe.
Mm-hmm.
Panda?
Yes.
You know what time it is? Because we're not going to plug the podcast this week. We don't really need to plug the podcast. We've got Nick.
I know.
You're already listened to this podcast going, wow, this is good stuff. I need to get this more often. So, I'm just going to jump to, what shit are you digging?
Dancing.
Oh.
Now I'm in the mood to shake my groove thing, baby.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Nick, what are you digging? What shit are you digging?
I am digging on some Dishonored because I was away last week.
Mm.
I'm digging that shit. I'm digging Dance Central 3 this week, obviously.
Yes, for good reason.
For good reason, so I'm going to be playing some of that today. Man, I'm digging all kinds of video games this week. My family is away for 9 days.
Uh-oh.
It's just going to be me and my couch.
It's vacation time.
Yeah.
That's right. I played 7 hours of video games yesterday, which is something I have not done in probably like 15 years.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm digging the silence.
And really the ability to rejoin a lost love.
Yeah.
This
That's
is
beautiful.
True.
That's just
tears in my eyes right here.
I'm a little bit
Yeah, she's misty-eyed right now, actually. Just she's a misting a bit.
It's a beautiful thing.
There, it's okay.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
But what about you then, Ninja? Shit, you're digging.
Well, obviously Dance Central 3.
Well, yeah.
Because, duh. We've been talking about it a lot. But actually, I'm with Nick. I'm about to crack open Dishonored. I've been looking forward to it. I've blocked out some time. We're going to have some real quality time.
You're going to bond.
Yeah. That's really what we're going to have. And my new beats, because...
I know, they're looking quite
upgraded. So, and my new tires on my car. So, it's been a lot of news this week. New game!
Well, for some of us.
So. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
I want to thank you again, Nick, for joining us. Don't forget, people, Dance Central 3. Give it a shot. Deuces.
Bye!
Aw, that's nice. We should do that more often. We're gonna have to. It's nice having other voices on the podcast besides just Panda and myself. Of course, the next time that we do this, we should make sure that we've completely filled the hour and not shorted ourselves like we did this time. But it's okay, because we have a piece from the cutting room floor, a section that was in episode 293, which for all of you podcast nerds, that we recorded that in about May-ish. And it's one of the episodes where we actually have our homeboy Xenocore from Ultimate Quest on the show. And Panda asked me about how my game tastes have changed. Yummy, yummy games. Shall we listen?
What I wanted to ask was, while you were talking about, you know, now that you're coming back around, really quickly,
yes.
Do you feel that the reason why your tastes and stuff are starting to expand is because you're starting to see elements of all those other games that you were not necessarily attracted to when you're younger being implemented in those other games, which is making it more easy for you to be like, oh, I can see how people would like that, and now I kind of like it?
No, I think really what it comes down for me of why my tastes are changing are three things. I think the first one is that the thing that I love about games across the board, right, is good storytelling. Okay, just like a great movie, you gotta move me, you gotta catch me. And I think that what part of the reason why my tastes are changing is because that element is now happening in these other stories. Like, the reason why I felt good when I was playing the Spec Ops game, even though it's no different than any current military game that's out there as far as the mechanics, that was telling you a really good story. Like, you're caught in Dubai. Dubai is fucked up, and you don't know why. And Dubai is a beautiful place, so for it to be fucked up, something bad has happened. And it just, cinematically, the voice acting, the questions left unanswered, got my attention, and I wanted to know and why and solve the puzzle.
Okay.
It just happens that...
It was in
a shooter.
Right.
You know, and so I think that that's part of the reason why my tastes are changing, is because, frankly, the elements that I really enjoy in most of the stories are coming now around to the other genres, right?
Right.
You know, the reason why I love playing Double Dragons, not because there was any kind of, like, real life or death struggle story, but there was a little bit of a story. Like, you're trying to save the girl.
You and your brother are trying to save the girl, and then you guys are going to fight over the girl. The end.
You know, and, you know, with Streets of Rage, you got to get to the bad guy, because he's the reason why there's slums and shit. And these three people are taking him out. You know, it was a simple story, because you didn't have the real ability to tell a real story.
Right.
But, you know, you're like, okay, there's a definite bad guy, I'm the good guy, and I'm going to go and make this happen.
And we got all this heavy ammunition to use up for some reason.
For some reason.
Let me call my dude with the car with the rocket launcher on it.
And you went for it. Just like, I don't know. It makes sense. And I think that's one piece of it, is that the things that I enjoy the most, the storytelling piece, is now showing up in other genres. You know, there is a very good story in Modern Warfare. Okay. There's not a person who's picked up a Modern Warfare game who doesn't know about Soap McTavish.
Nope.
Okay? It's a shooter. It shouldn't matter. It should be generic soldier number 2. But there's a character there, and you buy into, and for some reason you make some kind of emotional connection to Soap.
Yep.
and all the shit that seems or price.
Or Price.
Oh, poor Price. You know, and so you buy into that. And
yeah, don't forget Ghost.
Oh, dude, yeah. Serious. You know, and so, you know, you have that now in a shooter, and so there's just as much value in those characters as whatever protagonist that you have in an action game, you know, and so I think that that's one piece of it. I think the second piece of it is, frankly, they just are easy to pick up. You know, one of my biggest struggles, you know, as I am in my adult life and my 17-hour freaking work week is finding the time to pick up and play, you know, and I'm finding that shooters and action platformers are the easiest things for me to pick up and play for maybe a half hour.
Shorter completion time.
A shorter completion time. And frankly, you know, you have a set objective that you have to do, right?
Right.
You know, and with Prototype, you can play for 60 hours and actually not advance the story.
Yeah.
You can just run around the environments trying to find hit squads and tapes and taking out random fucking dudes.
You can just grind. Just grind if you want to.
If you want to.
You can grind if you want to.
But with a shooter or with an action platformer, you don't really have the grind if you want to. You have a set objective, right?
Yeah.
You have this mission. This is what you need to do. This is who you need to take out. Hit him with a flashbang. Bullet in the head. Boom, done. You can save and leave. Or you can move on to the next mission. So if I only have a half hour before I have to put my ass in bed because I got to get up in 3 hours, I can do that with a shooter.
Yes, you can.
You know, and I can just be in, out, boom, done. And the same thing with an action platformer. I can play just this level, and I can save at any point. So if the puzzle's too damn hard, and I've already been at it for 45 minutes, fuck, I gotta go. I don't feel like the next day when I pick it up, I'm gonna have to remember exactly what I was doing the day before. I just pick it up and go. And so I think that's another, you know, reason that it's changing, is because it's a lot easier to pick up and play. You know, I find that I can't just pick up and play anywhere in the middle of a Zelda game.
No.
Because there's way too much detail and shit you gotta remember, and did you do this, and were you at this point in the puzzle?
Yeah.
I can pick up Uncharted 3 at any point in time in any puzzle and just continue to run.
Yep.
You know,
and now you can add Super Monday Night Combat to that as soon as you get it.
You know, and so, exactly. You know, and so that's where I'm finding value is, it's enjoyable, it's got a good story, but I can pick up and play it. And if I'm away from it for 3 weeks, if I'm away from it for 4 weeks, when I pick it back up,
you don't have to sit there and actually read your codex or whatever to figure out where you are and what you were doing.
Exactly. And that's a lot of value to me. And I think that's part of the reasons why I stay away from MMOs, because...
Well, you don't have to worry about that, because I play the MMOs.
Yeah, but I feel like that's part of the reason why, you know, when I say it sounds like work, because for me... That's a whole lot of, I gotta remember what I was doing, I gotta remember where I was going, what quest was I in the middle of, what's the next quest that I need to get this. I'm already tired.
Just, you know, listening to me and Dear were like, yay!
I'm like, fantastic, you enjoy it. I just want to blow something up. If
like,
that's
Panda, when are you playing Alan Wake again? So I can watch you play Alan Wake.
Yes. Just like, you need to play Ninja Gaiden.
I know, I still have to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that that's another piece of it. And I think the last piece of it is, you know, as you get older, I think your gaming taste, just like your taste in food, your taste in clothes, your taste in music changes. And it should. And I think because I started out with brawlers and platformers, then I moved on to, you know, mobile and puzzle games. And then I kind of came around to strategy for a little bit. You know, now I've moved into kind of my, you know, action platformer and first-person shooter phase. You know, I don't know what the next phase will be. I don't know if I'll start the whole wheel over again or not.
Maybe.
You're going to fall into Facebook like all the others.
Oh, God, no.
Actually, I absolutely nope. hate Facebook
And I already did my
stick. You will fall into the abyss of elder female gaming, which is Facebook and Zynga.
Farmville, I have to harvest my berries.
I don't think that will ever happen. I have at times fallen into stuff like Words with Friends and I draw something. But I think it's more because I enjoy the humor of my really stupid friends.
Who can't draw,
but somehow we keep streaks going. So I think that that's, like, as far as, like, my older gaming, that will always be
Peggle.
I hate Peggle.
Eshmom
loves Peggle, but I hate Peggle. I think it'll end up coming full circle. And, you know, you look at the games that are really popular, and frankly, you look at the stuff that is being hyped right now for E3. Okay, that's kind of where I see it going. Like, I see myself moving away from, as much as it pains me to say, moving away from the Dance Centrals of the world and, like, the Zumbas of the world on that side.
But because those are airing not necessarily to dance, but more to fitness.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I love fitness. There's nothing wrong with it. But
I'm hip to fitness.
I don't have the time to go upstairs, rearrange your living room so I can play
Dance Central. So you can shake your booty.
I can shake my booty in my own living room. Thank you.